Luckily, the cap was not broken and no damage was done aloft. But it was rather a bad introduction to the Antarctic. There is no place to land the Cape Crozier hut and stores, so we must build a hut in the winter here, which will mean so much extra sledging from winter quarters. Bad start, good finish. Joyce and I went aloft to the crow's nest, but could see no opening in the barrier to eastward where a ship might enter and get further south. Mackintosh proceeded into McMurdo Sound. Heavy pack delayed the ship for 3 days, and it was not until January 16th that she reached a point off Cape Evans, where he landed 10 tons of coal and 98 cases of oil. During succeeding days, Captain Mackintosh worked the Aurora southward, and by January 24th he was within 9 miles of Hut Point. There he made the ship fast to sea ice, then breaking up rapidly, and proceeded to arrange sledging parties. It was his intention to direct the laying of the depots himself, and to leave his first officer, Lieutenant J.R. Stenhouse, in command of the Aurora, with instructions to select a base and land a party. The first objective was Hut Point, where stands the hut erected by the Discovery Expedition in 1902. An advance party consisting of Joyce, in charge, Jack and Gaze, with dogs and fully loaded sledges, left the ship on January 24th. Mackintosh, with Wild and Smith, followed the next day, and a supporting party, consisting of Cope, in charge, Stevens, Ninnis, Haywood, Hook and Richards, left the ship on January 30th. The first two parties had dog teams. The third party took with it the motor tractor, which does not appear to have given the good service that I had hoped to get from it. These parties had a strenuous time during the weeks that followed. The men, fresh from shipboard, were not in the best of training, and the same was true of the dogs. It was unfortunate that the dogs had to be worked so early after their arrival in the Antarctic. They were in poor condition, and they had not learned to work together as teams. The result was the loss of many of the dogs, and this proved a serious matter in the following season. Captain Mackintosh's record of the sledging in the early months of 1915 is fairly full. It will not be necessary here to follow the fortunes of the various parties in detail, for although the men were facing difficulties and dangers, they were on well-travelled ground, which has been made familiar to most readers by the histories of earlier expeditions. Captain Mackintosh and his party left the Aurora on the evening of January 25th. They had 9 dogs and 1 heavily loaded sledge, and started off briskly to the accompaniment of a cheer from their shipmates. The dogs were so eager for exercise after their prolonged confinement aboard the ship that they dashed forward at their best speed, and it was necessary for one man to sit upon the sledge in order to moderate the pace. Mackintosh had hoped to get to Hut Point that night, but luck was against him. The weather broke after he had travelled about 5 miles, and snow, which completely obscured all landmarks, sent him into camp on the sea ice. The weather was still thick on the following morning, and the party, making a start after breakfast, missed its way. "We shaped a course where I imagined Hut Point to be," wrote Captain Mackintosh in his diary, "but when the sledge meter showed 13 miles 50 yards, which is 4 miles in excess of the distance from the ship to Hut Point, I decided to halt again. The surface was changing considerably, and the land was still obscured. We have been travelling over a thick snow surface in which we sink deeply, and the dogs are not too cheerful about it." They started again at noon on January 27th, when the weather had cleared sufficiently to reveal the land, and reached Hut Point at 4 p.m. The sledge meter showed that the total distance travelled had been over 17 miles. Mackintosh found in the hut a note from Joyce, who had been there on the 25th, and who reported that one of his dogs had been killed in a fight with its companions. The hut contained some stores left there by earlier expeditions. The party stayed there for the night. Mackintosh left a note for Stenhouse, directing him to place provisions in the hut in case the sledging parties did not return in time to be taken off by the ship. Early next morning, Joyce reached the hut. He had encountered bad ice and had come back to consult with Mackintosh regarding the route to be followed. Mackintosh directed him to steer out towards Black Island in crossing the head of the sound beyond Hut Point. Mackintosh left Hut Point on January 28th. He had taken some additional stores, and he mentions that the sledge now weighed 1,200 pounds. This was a heavy load, but the dogs were pulling well, and he thought it practicable. He encountered difficulty almost at once after descending the slope from the point to the sea ice, for the sledge stuck in soft snow, and the party had to lighten the load and relay until they reached a better surface. They were having trouble with the dogs, which did not pull cheerfully, and the total distance covered in the day was under 4 miles. The weather was warm, and the snow consequently was soft. McIntosh had decided that it would be best to travel at night. A fall of snow held up the party throughout the following day, and they did not get away from their camp until shortly before midnight. "The surface was abominably soft," wrote McIntosh. "We harnessed ourselves onto the sledge and with the dogs made a start, but we had a struggle to get off. We had not gone very far when in deeper snow we stopped dead. Try as we would, no movement could be produced. Reluctantly, we unloaded and began the tedious task of relaying. The work, in spite of the lighter load on the sledge, proved terrific for ourselves and for the dogs. We struggled for 4 hours and then set camp to await the evening, when the sun would not be so fierce and the surface might be better. I must say I feel somewhat despondent, as we are not getting on as well as I expected, nor do we find it as easy as one would gather from reading." The two parties met again that day. Joyce also had been compelled to relay his load, and all hands laboured strenuously and advanced slowly. They reached the edge of the barrier on the night of January 30th and climbed an easy slope to the barrier surface, about 30 feet above the sea ice. The dogs were showing signs of fatigue, and when McIntosh camped at 6:30 a.m. on January 31st, he reckoned that the distance covered in 12.5 hours had been about 2.5 miles. The men had killed a seal at the edge of the sea ice and placed the meat on a cairn for future use. One dog, having refused to pull, had been left behind with a good feed of meat, and McIntosh hoped the animal would follow. The experiences of the party during the days that followed can be indicated by some extracts from McIntosh's diary. Sunday, January 31st. Started off this afternoon at 3 p.m. Surface too dreadful for words. We sink into snow at times up to our knees, the dog struggling out of it, panting and making great efforts. I think the soft snow must be accounted for by a phenomenally fine summer without much wind. After proceeding about 1,000 yards, I spotted some poles on our starboard side. We shaped course for these and found Captain Scott's safety camp. We unloaded a relay here and went back with empty sledge for the second relay. It took us 4 hours to do just this short distance. It is exasperating. After we had got the second load up, we had lunch. Then we dug round the poles while snow fell, and after getting down about 3 feet, we came across, first, a bag of oats. Lower down, 2 cases of dog biscuit, one with a complete week's ration, the other with seal meat. A good find. About 40 paces away, we found a venesta lid sticking out of the snow. Smith scraped around this with his ice axe and presently discovered one of the motor sledges Captain Scott used. Everything was just as it had been left, the petrol tank partly filled and apparently undeteriorated. We marked the spot with a pole. The snow clearing, we proceeded with a relay. We got only 0.5 mile, still struggling in deep snow, and then went back for the second load. We can still see the cairn erected at the barrier edge and a black spot, which we take to be the dog. February 1st. We turned out at 7:30 p.m. and after a meal broke camp. We made a relay of 2.5 miles. The sledge meter stopped during this relay. Perhaps that is the cause of our mileage not showing. We covered 7.5 miles in order to bring the load 2.5 miles. After lunch, we decided, as the surface was getting better, to make a shot at travelling with the whole load. It was a back-breaking job. Wild led the team while Smith and I pulled in harness. The great trouble is to get the sledge started after the many unavoidable stops. We managed to cover 1 mile. This even is better than relaying. We then camped, the dogs being entirely done up, poor brutes. February 2nd. We were awakened this afternoon, while in our bags, by hearing Joyce's dogs barking. They have done well and have caught us up. Joyce's voice was heard presently, asking us the time. He is managing the full load. We issued a challenge to race him to the bluff, which he accepted. When we turned out at 6:30 p.m., his camp was seen about 3 miles ahead. About 8 p.m., after our hoosh, we made a start and reached Joyce's camp at 1 a.m. The dogs had been pulling well, seeing the camp ahead, but when we arrived off it, they were not inclined to go on. After a little persuasion and struggle, we got off, but not for long.